Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Global radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are going to be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, as we introduce something that we are looking forward to as being revolutionary and necessary in these times, and we've talked about it. Creating a moneyless society, which is quite possible simply by our agreement to share. And this system of sharing is being launched in October, just a couple of days away. So we want to make sure that we prepare ourselves by going through the process of working out the kinks in the system, which means working out the kinks in our human family. So let's bring on our co-host and the American Muslim 360 family as we discuss service. Sharing Earth.
Voluntarily implementing creative exchange. And we have our co-host on the line and our American Muslim 360 family, Grand Rising. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, Naima Latif, and Grand Rising to us all, alhamdulillah. And we are definitely willing to share. You always use that word there as to how we can best create the best conditions for our human lives. We have to be willing to share. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, we are. Well, we're so excited today because an idea coming to fruition and ready to be launched onto the world stage in such a way that communities can begin the process of creating the abundance that all deserve to experience. So we want to hash it out today and address the issues that we as a human family will face once we transition out of a monetary system that is highly exclusionary and unfair and conflict-producing and evolve into a system in which we simply provide for each other's needs out of love. And this is something that existed at one time before the introduction of a monetary system. And so with the various currencies all throughout the globe, all of the various inequities that exist throughout the globe, we realize that we must transform the societies in which we live and return to a state of civility in which we simply share. Now, the acronym for service is Sharing Earth Resources, Voluntarily Implementing Creative Exchange. And a website has been created to make that possible. And before that website is put forth, we want to explore some of the issues that we face as a human family that keeps us from doing what we always had the power to do in our hands and just simply didn't do out of fear of there not being enough, out of desires to create hierarchies in which there was wealthy and poor people, and some could feel better than others, and some could hoard things and refuse to allow others access to what they needed to live. And all of this conflict that we have created as a human family, not along lines of black and white or Asian or European or American or anything else other than our own personal, spiritual lack of understanding that we come here with nothing and we leave here with nothing. And the only thing we need to learn how to do is share. Now, just think about it. What if you could get everything you need in life without spending any money? What if everything were actually free? Well, surprise, it really is. No one truly owns anything. Our consciousness enters the physical body, develops inside our mother's womb. We are born into this physical life, into a body, and we borrow the things we need from the earth to keep our bodies functioning, the air, the water, the food, the shelter, the clothing. Everything's produced by the earth, and we are allowed to use it. And then after a time, our consciousness leaves our bodies, and those bodies are given back to this earth from whence it came. Now, ownership of anything along the way is really an illusion because, as the saying goes, you can't take it with you. We can only borrow what we need while we're here. So with that understanding, we can create a way of living based on sharing the abundance that the earth has given all of us for free. And once we do that, this removes the illusion of wealth and poverty, of economic class, of poor versus rich, because we're all using what Mother Earth has provided us for free. So what would it take to eliminate the need for money from our life so that all of us simply share what we have and we provide what we can do for each other as needed? So today we want to examine the steps that it's going to take to perfect this system being introduced called Circus. Sharing Earth's Resources, Voluntarily Implementing Creative Exchange. Now, let me explain how it works, and then we'll talk about what are some of the challenges we're going to face as we implement this. Basically, the way it works, there's a website in which you're, just like you develop, you know, your Facebook page or your YouTube channel, well, you'll be able to create your own page where you first of all identify yourself, your name, your email. That's how you're contacted. And some basic things about yourself, what it is you do, all the different skills you may have. You may be a carpenter. You may be a painter. You may be a beautician. You do hair. Maybe you're a babysitter. Maybe you know how to take care of children. Maybe you know how to cut lawns, maybe you know how to wash windows. Maybe you are a brain surgeon. Maybe you are someone who is good at self-defense, martial arts, all kinds of things. Maybe you can entertain. Maybe you like to sing. Maybe you can dance. Whatever it is that you offer as your gifts, your skills, your talents, you list all of those things. This is what I can do. Then you list all of your possessions. This is what I have. And you look at all of the things, starting with all your unused things that you have, and we all have things in our shelves, our closets, our drawers, just stuff. And our houses are full of things, books, furniture, clothing. So you list all of those possessions. And it's kind of like taking inventory. And once you do that, you'll realize how much stuff you have and how much you really don't use. So this is all of what you possess. Now you think about some of the things that you would need, some items that you'd like to purchase or some things you may need, you know, maybe a television set, maybe a new toaster, whatever things you need. You just make that list. Now the idea, of course, is that each person have this list of their worth based on what they do, what they have. And your time that you spend doing things is calculated according to a scale of, well, rather than money, we call them service points. So one service point is equal to 1 minute. So that means 1 hour being 60 service points. So basically, if you needed to come up with a number system, think of it as you working for $60 an hour for whatever it is that you did, if you had to put it to a money, to a dollar figure or a number or monetary figure in your mind just for the purpose of calculating worth. Same thing with your items that you value. Consider $1 being worth one service point. So whatever your items are that you would exchange, that's how you would calculate the value. Now, basically, all you're going to do is you're going to do what other people may require, and they simply award you service points for whatever, however much time you spent doing the thing that they need you to do or the thing that you provide for them. They award you service points as opposed to them paying you money. So that's how things are exchanged. Now, you create your service page, and then you, just like you make friends on Facebook, people you know, well, you think of people you know, like, and trust. First of all, people you know, like, and trust to be in your service group. These are going to be people that agree to this system of exchange using no money, just their own creative energy that they're sharing with others, or their own items that they're sharing with others. No money exchanged at all. So it's kind of a combination of time banking and bartering and exchange, where you get everything you need with no money at all. Now, these people who are part of your service group, whether they be somebody from your church, your mosque, your temple, somebody from your block club, somebody from your high school graduating class, now, whatever group of people, whatever combination of group of people, these are people who are agreeing to interact. And they're agreeing to not use money, simply give and take and use service points to document what they've done and what the transaction represented. Each transaction is recorded, your service records. And so each transaction, you can rate, you know, okay, I was very satisfied with this, 5, I was satisfied, I was 4, I was okay, I was a little unsatisfied, 2, and I was dissatisfied at 1. So each transaction is rated, and the rating is basically just to remind us that we want to always do our best and strive to give our best service, whatever we're doing. So with these people that are interacting, it's like you formed an intergroup where you provide each other's needs. And so the more people that you have that have more things that other people need, the more independent you are of the monetary system. somebody always says, well, okay, what if I need something from somebody across town and it's going to cost me to mail it or ship it or whatever? Well, who pays the cost? We got to pay money. Well, it's an opportunity for somebody maybe with a bicycle or don't mind walking, saying, well, look, I'll be a delivery person. You pay me in service units, service points, and I will take things to people in our group back and forth. So then we don't have to pay any delivery costs. So there's always an opportunity to avoid having to pay using dollars, using currency. If we simply use our imagination, our creativity, and our desire to help each other without having to pay money. So with that being said, we're going to take a look at that system, because they're always, well, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? And another question asked was, well, you know, what about if to work for me and I'm not satisfied? Can I not give them the service points for that? Well, if this is people you know, like, and trust, you should be able to work out whatever the issue was so that they can eventually perform whatever job that you required in a satisfactory manner, so you can go ahead and award them the points so there isn't a conflict. The spirit of it has to be fairness and right treatment. Can't be trying to scam somebody, trying to get over on somebody, trying to half do things. The spirit has to be one of service. And this is why that acronym is so appropriate, because we want to get out of the mindset of doing things because I got to get paid because I got to pay a bill and half doing it if I can. We want to get out of that mindset and get into the mindset of I want to give what I have to offer to the best of my ability. Said if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can. So we want to have that attitude toward what we give to others, because we're giving out of love, not out of fear, but out of love. So it's a different mindset. It's a shift in the way we think. So these are the issues that come forth as we prepare to launch in October this new system of living together and sharing together and working together and cooperating together through service. So, Brother Kareem, what are your thoughts? What are some of the first issues that you see that we would face in such a system?
Well, the first thing is that the human being is created with a competitive edge, and that righteous competition. Now, mind you, I said righteous competition is what produces for us being willing to compete in rendering service. Almighty God says to us in the Quran, go as in a race. Race is that leads us to compete. Go as in a race toward all that is good. Compete in all good works. So to remove the competitive, if we look at competition in that light, then that's the good light. But to compete where I'm undermining you, I'm undercutting price, or I'm sabotaging your good efforts, then that is not the competition that Almighty God calls us toward. And just this morning, I was looking at and listening to a sermon this morning, and the imam was saying, we have brought our brother here, and he is not carrying his wife with him, his home, his money, his cars, none of those things. none of those things. Those things will be left behind. And he is no longer with us. And there is a principle in Islam called sadaqa jariya. That is, that you have rendered an act of charity or a good act upon which people derive benefits from. And that act continues to give and people benefit when you are no longer present. It is our deed that will be presented before our Creator. And it is the good deed that we present. Almighty God says to us in the Quran that there are some that think that they are actually gaining credit with him. And they will be found lacking in the hereafter. That's like, say, okay, I purchased a large home. My children are well-fed and all of those good things. I have standing in the society. And they will find that all of those works were of no consequence because it is gazed upon the how much did you benefit those that were with you, you know, up beyond your family. We do not get credit for taking care of our children. That is a given. That is not seen as some meritorious act. That is what we are supposed to do. But it is that giving that goes beyond yourself, and it benefits the society or the community in which you live. Those are the good deeds that we leave behind, and that is the record that we take with us.
Right.
So I understand the principle of what is being said. But there is a but in that, though. We should not eliminate the arena of competition. Industry competes with each other, and they compete for monetary gain. Now, what they do with that, that's up to them. But that's cutting edge of being able to compete. That is how we advance ourselves. Someone invented the automobiles that we drive. There was competition in that area. It wasn't just Ford. General Motors, American Motors, and they were competing. And through that competition, that the vehicles improved in their performance. But what was the motivating factor? The motivating factor was to earn more monetary gain. Now, there's a surah or chapter in the Quran that is called abundance. Abundance. Al-Kawthar. And God says here, I seek refuge with Almighty God from the accursed Satan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani ar-rajim. Inna atainaka al-kawthar. Indeed, we have granted abundance. Allah is the one, God, who have granted us abundance. The next verse says, Fasali li rabbika wanhar. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to him alone. Enash. Enash Shanikawa Wal Abtar. Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off. Cut off from what? The abundance. The abundance. Not that Almighty God will withhold any of the creation from those that do not believe in him, but they will not derive any benefit in the hereafter because of their disbelief in him. So we, the righteous people, we should compete. We should compete with those that do not have the same value system, do not acknowledge God, and are selfish. We should compete in the realm of production, manufacturing, and utilize those resources that Almighty God has provided for us to bring relief to the oppressed, to bring relief to those that have not. So what you are saying, that there is a system called bartering, where you trade in kind. Bartering is a trade in kind. I cut your grass, you wash my windows. I'll fix your car, you fix my lawnmower. That system has been there a long time, but I do believe that we cannot eliminate the competitive ingredient that God has placed within us. That has been tried. That was tried in communist Russia, where everyone would have an equality. And we find that system did not operate too well, that it collapsed from within. Life became just bland. Mm. And that system failed. But now, although they still use the terminology, communism, but we see they have adopted the Western free market in their economy, So the ingredient of competition, but that competition should be utilized in what Almighty God is offering us, compete toward all that is good. The more we get, the more we should relieve the suffering of those that have not.
That's the point.
That's a lot of them. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm glad you brought out all of those issues, because those are the things we need to address, clarify, and expand upon so that we have an understanding of how that spirit of competition makes us better but not exclusionary, in which we are not allowing others to participate and therefore create the lack that many are experiencing. But we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. Because what is the difference between the system of service, in which you are voluntarily sharing, and everybody's time is of equal value, and everybody has access to whatever abundance they need through their willingness to serve? What's the difference between that thought and the system of communism, in which equality was forced from, meaning the government, and imposed upon the people? What's the difference? Definitely a vast difference, but we'll talk about it when we come back from the break, and we want your input, because this is an evolutionary step that humanity is ready to take. And it will remove all of the distress that we have created by an unfair monetary system that excludes opportunities to compete for too many people, and it creates too much conflict. So conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to let us know you have something to say, or you can call in at 515-605-9891. And again, our co-host, Doreen Hamid, will open your mic, and we'll share your thoughts. So we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategy with Donna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we are glad to prepare our loyal listeners, viewers, and friends all around the world to embark upon an evolutionary re
have been working diligently over the last several years, actually, on a system launched through a website entitled Service.
Unmuted.
Standing for Sharing Earth's Resources, Voluntarily Implementing Creative Exchange. And this acronym defines the spirit with which we interact. Now, our co-host, Kareem Hamid, has brought up some very important points that need to be addressed because those are the points that will surface. Is the incentive to do your best if you're not in competition with someone in which you must strive to excel over them? Well, we want to examine that thought for just a moment, because we do always want to be our best. We want to excel. And let's say I go on my service website and I am looking for someone, say, to cut my lawn. I need a landscaper. Now, there might be several people who offer those services. What is the incentive for someone to do a top-notch job, cut it evenly, you know, line up the lawn and everything, trim the bushes nice? What's the incentive for them to do a good job as opposed to giving me a half job where they, you know, cut it crooked and miss some spots and don't even line it afterwards and just, what's the incentive? Let's say you want to go for a haircut. What's the incentive for a person to do a wonderful, creative, artistic cut on your head where everybody goes, oh, look at you, cut your hair, whoa, as opposed to somebody just, you know, half cut it with scissors, it's crooked, lopsided, you know, didn't even line it up or anything, just raggedy looking. What's the incentive? If they both are going to perform a service, they're going to take the same amount of time, they get paid in the same amount of service points. So what's the incentive to do well? Well, the incentive is you're going to choose only the person who does the best job. You're going to seek out the best service. So you can always still use that competitive edge to desire to be your best. Removed is the intention to undercut someone else in a way that is unfair, because everybody has the opportunity to strive to give their best service. And so everybody who wants to be given an opportunity to serve in order to receive their service points, because it's just like getting paid, except it's just basically tracking what you have offered, and you can take those same points and get what you need somewhere else. Same system. It's just that everybody has access to it because everybody can serve. And if someone chooses someone else to cut their hair or cut their lawn who gets a better rating for their service, well, then that's your incentive to do better so that you can be the one that's selected to serve and therefore receive those points. So there's always an incentive, and after every transaction, there is a rating. How were you as a giver? How were you as a receiver? And this is not to eliminate anybody from the opportunity. It's to remind us that we always should be doing our best. So there is an incentive to strive for excellence. That's really what we want the incentive to be, to strive for your own personal excellence. Now, it doesn't mean that your hour of time is going to be worth more than anybody else's hour of time, and it shouldn't. I mean, why do you need somebody to make less than you? Don't you simply want to be your best because that's who you are and you get more opportunities to gain more if you do better? So you will always have an opportunity to excel based on your efforts. We're not taking away that incentive. What we're removing is the exclusion of masses of people from the opportunity to even participate. And that's what makes the society fair, when everybody can participate. So that's a very good point that you made. And listening to that verse from the Holy Quran, it shows how much in harmony this system is with the Creator's information from the universe that lets us know that we are living in an abundant earth. There's abundance all around us. We just need to be able to recognize it and circulate it so that no one is living without what they need. Like when we withhold the abundance that really belongs to others, and we just need to share. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, you know, we like the from the surah that I read, it is Almighty God that have created this abundance. I mean, you know, no one comes, no one enters an environment. Now, don't take this small. Praise be to Allah. Don't take this small. An environment of poverty when they are born.
Absolutely.
They're coming into an existence. Yes, ma'am. They're coming into an existence, an environment where there is an abundance of treasure, an abundance of wealth, and the potential is within each and every soul that enters this environment we call creation, and the ability to have access to this wealth of abundance. There are some people that will withhold withhold that type of thinking from groups of people and will undermine their efforts to glean from this wonderful creation the wealth of abundance that we are born into. We are born into wealth. And the potential of achieving that is housed within every soul that enters this environment. The willingness to share, the willingness to educate, the willingness to spark the creative edge in all of us, in every human being, will bring about a greater abundance. We don't lose anything. When we give, we don't lose. Almighty God, He increases our wealth. The more you give, the more He increases your access. But when we become stingy and selfish, then we cannot grow beyond our focus. If the focus is just self, that limits. How far we can go. I'm grateful to know that there are men that and women that have achieved an abundance of wealth, and they are doing all they can. I'm telling you, they are doing all they can to share that wealth, because they realize, they know that wealth is only a test on them. They know that. They are under test, and they try to give back as much as they can. I won't name names. I can name some names of people that we all are aware of that have an abundance of wealth, and they are contributing heavily to alleviate and benefit mankind. So we there are people that exist at that level, and they see their wealth as not just that monetary, it's the opportunity. Praise be to Allah, the opportunity that is wealth, the opportunity and the circumstance most good. That is what we should be competing for.
Oh,
who can do the most good. Go as in a race. I'm willing to compete with someone in what, in doing good deeds. Well, all right. He fed so many people this month. Well, I'm going to top that. Oh, all right. He provided shelter for these many people. I'm going to top that. He provided medical assistance. So all of these things, that is the wealth. The wealth is the ability and the circumstance to do what is right and what is good.
That is exactly right. Well, we've got a caller on the line, and we're going to go to our caller. One of the things that we are seeking to help make a shift in thought is the understanding that things only have the value we give them. So if someone says that this piece of paper, this shiny rock, whatever it is, this represents value. And if you have this thing that we've given value to, then you can acquire what you need from others. But if you don't have this thing, then you can't acquire what you need from others. Now, initially, if you look at it, it's okay, well, this is the easy way of, you know, rather than direct barter and trade, okay, I got a thing that you need, but you don't really have anything I need, so how do we trade directly? Well, ideally, the monetary system of creating currency was to make it so that you could give to someone else, and even if they didn't have something directly to give you, they can give you something of value that you could then use to get something from somewhere else. So this is what these service points are all about. But the way the monetary system is, there are a few people who control those symbols of value, and because they're not distributed fairly and with the right incentive and intention, it creates conflict. So we want to remove the conflict that comes from a select group of people determining what symbols of trade may be used. And we're taking something that everybody already has, your own energy. And whatever you provide has value. If you work from in doing something for someone, your half hour of time is just as valuable as anybody else's half hour of time, because we all are of equal value as human beings. So therefore, we're not striving to keep someone from getting something so that we can be better than them and creating poverty for them. We're simply striving to use what the Creator has given us, our own energy, translated into our own time, talents, skills that we can offer to make life better. And it has value. Everybody has value. There's no such thing as an economic class where some people are wealthy and some people are poor. That's an illusion. And we seek to remove the illusion today. Everyone has equal value in the sight of the Creator, because we're all created as extensions of the Creator. So there is no difference. There is no better and lesser and worse other than what ranks you, your righteousness, your decision to do right, your decision to help. That's what makes you better. So isn't that what we're competing to become, giving more help, giving more service, making life better? That has to be the incentive, and that's what this system seeks to create. Let me go to our caller at area code 863-846. Oh. Grand Rising, thank you for calling.
Yeah, Grand Rising, L.A., Central Florida. I've gone to a couple of communities that mirror what you're talking about.
What did you observe?
Well, one that I went to, I hung out with them for about 5 days up in West Virginia. They're a time banking community.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially your money, well, I had to do a $200 donation up front to that. You saw how they lived. So the United States dollar was basically, they did a whole lot without the United States dollar. A lot of the families have, you know, one guy was on 5 acres, another one was on 39 acres. But one of the interesting things there was each family had their own electric plant, so to speak, which was based on solar. So what they would do was they would have to pony up dollars to buy the units at a discount, but each family would help install. The cost of installation was zero. And none of those families had a, an electric bill. And then, you know, they grew food. They had, you know, farming and all that type of stuff. So they basically, to a very high degree, lived off the grid. Now, one of the metrics that I go by is on July 4th, 1776, none of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, who were basically all wealthy men, none of them had an electric bill, had a water bill, had a heating bill, or nothing like that. And they built their wealth to a high degree. I know a lot of people are saying slavery, but they built their wealth to a very high degree off social capital.
Yeah.
What's his name? Thomas Jefferson, or the second president of the United States, George Washington, the first president of the United States. They didn't get bank loans to build those estates. I've been to Mount Vernon, which is right outside of D.C. in Mount Vernon, Virginia. That's a massive estate that he lived on. But there was no Wells Fargo or nothing like that. Since 1776, July 4th, there are probably over 400 government agencies that exist. And I think that's the biggest deterrent to wealth building in our modern age, at least in the United States. However, if you take a look at time banking communities that do exist within the United States, and the Amish and the Mennonite communities, and I think the Amish is a good example of it. The Amish community essentially, get past the religious part or how they dress. Number one, they live in rural areas, and they live off the grid in rural areas. So they know how to make their own electricity. And the first 16 or so presidents of the United States never experienced electricity. Most of them never knew what indoor plumbing. A lot of the stuff that we take for granted today, the first 16 or so presidents didn't experience any of that. But going back to the Amish today, no car notes. You know, they got their horse, buggy, some ride bikes or whatever. So as a high-profile group, and here's some common denominators within the Amish community. Number one, they operate off of social capital. Social capital is more valuable than any government-issued currency. That's number one.
Yes.
Number two, I already mentioned they live in rural, off-the-grid areas. All right, they don't get traffic tickets. They don't have no traffic court. They don't have family court. None of that stuff. Stuff that where the government can take your money. They're heavily family-based businesses. Most Amish families have their own family-based business. Kids don't have to go out and get a job from IBM, Xerox, or whatever. The next thing is they manufacture. It's simple, but they have businesses where they manufacture furniture. They have farms. They have their own farmer markets. The farmer markets are not for their benefit. The farmer markets are a way, essentially, where they can trade their goods or products that they produce, be it furniture, apple pie, shoe pie, accommodations, so they can trade dollars because they have been able, they can zero out, but the way governments are structured now, they do need a little bit of money to deal with government. But those are just some of my observations on it. Anyway, But anyway, good program. It's a good topic because a lot of people do not know how to operate without government-issued currency.
And that's why your contribution to this conversation is so valuable, because it's a mindset that we have to overcome in order for us to become truly free. This is a free planet, and we have allowed ourselves to be enslaved because we have not remembered how to use social capital. So we're being taken advantage of by others who set up a system where we must pay them the currency that they have created in order to get the services that we choose to use from them, creating our own. As you mentioned, some of the places that you've been where people are growing their own food, they don't need money to go to the supermarket. They grow their own. Or if people are using the solar power that they have, okay, well, you might have to have some money if you don't have somebody in your group that manufactures the panels, but once they're installed, you don't have to pay to install them if they just work together and help do that. So with this system that we're introducing, service, the more people that you have involved in your group that do things, that have things, that provide things, the less government-issued currency you have to use to trade. Because if everything you need is contained within your group, you really don't have to ever pay using government-issued currency. That's the long-range goal, to remove that as a need and as a means of survival. And to remove the power of those who are able to control whether other people excel. We seek to free everyone from that system. Go ahead, Brother Freeman, then we're going to take a break.
Yes, we have a caller here with us on the AM 360 line. I believe this is our brother Muhammad, area code 706. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad.
Wa alaykum as-salam. May Allah's peace and blessings on everyone in the cube and out of the cube. And as always, we always try to get back to dhikr and taqwa. Allah already told us the best way to do whatever we're going to do is to compete for what is all is good in our effort. And we know that Allah has told us for the last 1,443 years, those who strive to establish al-Islam, which is the way of life of peace, by your will, by your free will, if we can leave that back as an inheritance to our children and all people to strive that way, then we can see we're going toward purification. Also, in the other parts of the reality is that the best product in the world is those who strive to establish peace on this earth. And all forms of whatever the type of material resources that Allah has left with us in the earth, on top of the earth, around the earth, to help people get peace in their life, then that is the most important product that the human family can come up with and unite around. Again, example like the example she gave about the lawn cutting. What makes that best, the people choose the one who they want to cut their lawn, is the one who they see make perfective effort to make their lawn look so good that it'll make them want to come out in the evening and sit in that lawn and enjoy the peace that it gives them. He is also rewarded because he knows that the service that he gave those people, the cutting their grass, to where that invites them to come out the house in the evening time and have some iced tea and sit on the beauty of the lawn care precision that he put on it in cutting it, gives him peace. And then if there's someone would ask him, why did you spend so much expertise to make sure that this lawn is cut? He said, I'm doing it to please Almighty God Allah. So when we understand that concept and spread it all the way down from our intellect down to the earth and back out of the earth into establishing, like in a race, to establish what gives the human family peace by pleasing Allah, and let the law make us pleasing to each other. It's a big product. All we need to do is manifest it. We have done it before in our time here in the last 50, 60 years. But now we have to do is establish it the way Allah says does in the Quran, and utilize that word al-Islam and explain it to people over and over again so they can understand that the one who puts his or his world, but will, in the will of God to give his fellow human being peace on this earth in this chaotic, everything drawn on your every nervous system, every blood vessel in your body, pulling you away from peace and contentment with the unity of humanity, humanitarian worship to one God, is that what we have to come into aware of and start trying to pool our resources, intellectual all the way down to physical, to establish peace on this earth. I mean.
Brother Muhammad, we do appreciate that thought, because if we are truly understanding oneness, unity, that means we are seeing ourselves as a collective, a one body, one system. And I believe it was one of our hosts, I think it was Viata's show on Sunday, I think, when she spoke about the ants, observe the ants. And we're told in the Holy Quran to observe nature and learn from these various other kingdoms so that we can learn and recognize some spiritual principles at work. The ants, they don't have a hierarchy. They don't have someone telling them what to do. Everybody performs their service for the whole body. Everybody participates and cooperates, and they get things done. They build things. They create things. They share food. And everybody knows how to do their particular function that helps the whole function as a whole. This is what humanity has to simply learn to do. Rather than seeing someone else as an enemy, see them as someone who is here to enhance the entire collective body. Someone could be coming up with a new way of transportation that is in harmony with the Earth's systems so that we have free energy. Someone realized that you can use the energy of the sun and create electricity, and if you understand that, you can create it without destroying the earth or robbing it of its minerals. So we have all kinds of things that we can do and contribute, and we don't have to see each other as enemies or competitors for what we perceive as not enough, because the earth is abundant. There is enough for everybody. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to share a thought with you from a video to really help to accentuate this point being made about ownership and sharing. We'll be right back after this quick break. If you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1. And Grand Rising to our Thursday host, Dr. Debbie Green. Make sure you tune in and listen to her tomorrow for Soulful Solutions. And we'll be right back during this quick break with more from some of our stars of the microphone. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
In to Sofa Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Sofa Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And, of course, we want to again remind you to tune on in tomorrow for Dr. Debbie Green's Soulful Solutions. Well, today we see this as a soulful solution to the problem of poverty, because there is no need for poverty. There is no need for people to do without. When we take inventory of all the stuff we have, and most of us have way too much junk, just think if you could just give it to people. Now, some people do, they, you know, they take things regularly to the Salvation Army or Goodwill or whatever, and those are places that sell things at a discount, and that's good. They kind of help. But what we want to do is give things to people directly that they need, and we can get rid of all the clutter in our homes, and we can be circulating these things that people need. It's just like people who hoard money. So you can even say, well, somebody's wealthy, and they've got $1 million in the bank. Well, that's nice, but how is that helping anybody? You're holding on to something. If money was intended to circulate, like blood is supposed to circulate throughout your body, if you hold it in one spot, it's not doing its job. It's not circulating, so the body dies. So if people consider themselves wealthy, and they're holding on to the currency that could be used by others to get the things they need, then they are the ones creating the poverty. So is it really something that you want to be, someone who's holding on to money? It's okay to have the things you need, but when you're holding on to something that could be circulating and helping people, then you're creating poverty. So we want to stop hoarding, whether you're hoarding things that people could use or hoarding money that people could use. Hoarding, probably because you're withholding. So what we want to do is remove the ability for anybody to withhold from you what you need to survive. Because you can't make people give up their money if they choose not to.
But we really can make it so that people have access to what they need, even if the people who have money don't want to pay them. What if people who have what you need, you don't have to get money to do it. Just get the thing you need. Then you can bypass the money. You can bypass that whole system. And that's the intention of this, to bypass a system that has developed into a means of withholding from people and creating poverty. Bypass that system and restore the abundance that already exists. So we want to greet our Tuesday host, Jody Susan, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in every Tuesday for Susan Essentials, and you learn about energy healing, learn about how to use food as medicine, learn how to restore your health, because we're not made to be sick. We're here to enjoy life and enjoy life abundantly. And one of the things our Friday host, Viata, joining us on Facebook and says, the new paradigm and revolutionary topic that is so needed. Yes, we need to change the way we think, a new paradigm. And what she says is grow food instead of grass. Now, just think about that. You got land. Your neighbor has a yard. You have a yard. They decide to grow grass. Okay, that's nice. You know, pretty, you know, trim your lawn and look cute. You decide to grow collard greens, tomatoes, bell peppers, squash, potatoes, peas, corn. You decide to do that with your lawn, your plot of earth. They decide to grow grass. Which of you all is going to be able to have a better impact on the society? Which of you all has something more to share that others need? Think about that. And then that helps you even make better decisions on what to do with the land that you have. It should be feeding people. If you don't have a cow and living in your backyard, then who are you feeding with that grass? And I'm not making fun of homeowners. I got a nice lawn in the front. But in the back, we grow on food because we eat food. We don't eat grass. So the Reverend might have a video I'd like to share, and for our listening audience, they can listen to it. And then we want to get your comments. And again, call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And for those who want to take a look at it and see it, you can join us on the Female Solution Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and write in the Female Solution, and you'll see my face. I'm wearing a yellow head wrap today, so you know if you see the lady with a yellow head wrap, you're in the right place. And we want to share this video with you as a means to remind you of a reality that we have forgotten, and that is the reality that the earth belongs to no one. You cannot own anything. You're here borrowing it. But we want to illustrate this with this video in a way that we hope helps to really make a point about how we are choosing to make decisions and whether or not what we're doing makes any sense. We want to think about this. And, of course, again, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And as we play this, we want you to listen to it, watch it if you're with us on Facebook. And then we want you to think the idea that is put forth, especially because for all of these centuries, we have not thought to question or challenge anyone's claim that they own something and you can't have it, even though we all were born with the same nothing when we entered the earth. So how is it that some people are claiming rights of ownership on anything that is here on the earth. So this is what we're seeking to assist us in recognizing with this video presentation. And of course, the whole idea is for us to, as Viata said, change the paradigm, change the way we think. If you never question something that's been wrong for a long time, then it stays wrong. And you never do what's necessary to correct the wrong thought that creates the wrong condition. We take for granted that there will always be poor among us. And we take for granted that some people are going to be wealthy. And we never question what is the reason and source for their wealth. Why are we not questioning their claim of ownership? So let's take a listen.
Isn't it great to be able to breathe the air? Because the air is free. It's free for everybody to breathe. But just imagine if the air cost money, if there were air companies that charge you a fee for your air, and you had to pay the fee, let's say $1 an hour. So that would be $24 a day you have to have for just air. Can you imagine how crazy this would get? Let's say people decided they want to pay in advance. Of course, you want to make sure you had your day's air paid in advance. So you have to pay that fee. Let's say by midnight that night. You have to pay your air. Then, of course, if you want to pay a week in advance, that would be $168. You have to pay in advance. So, of course, by 12 midnight on Saturday, if you didn't have your week's air fee paid, then the air police would come in. You have to cut them with your nose and mouth. People would be doing whatever they had to do to get that air fee paid on time. Of course, the smart people would want to pay the retail company fans. So that would give them 30 days of air. $720 in advance to breathe and not worry what. Time to pay that air fee again. If you didn't have that money, you would do whatever you had to do to get it. That would mean feel, even feel. Because you don't have air, you can't live. So now just imagine what would happen if people didn't have the money to pay their air fees. Now, of course, the wealthy people would pay it well in advance. Year in advance, what would that be? $8,760. So you'd have 365 days of air if you had money. But what if you were unemployed and didn't have an income? What if your Social Security check was made? Have the money to pay your air fee. Let's say when your child is born, you have to have your air fee paid in advance. Otherwise, as soon as your child came out, they have the covering over their nose and mouth. So they couldn't breathe it. You didn't have that air fee paid in 5 minutes, your child wouldn't do it. Can you imagine this whole time? Can you imagine the violence that would create? Because people would be struggling to survive. If you don't have air, you can't live. Well, thank God, the air is free, and we don't have to pay. But just think about it. So is everything else. The air is free, but so is the ground. The earth is free, which means whatever grows out of it is free because it was all given to us by our Creator. Water is free. It was all given to everybody to share. So how do we allow some people to create a system where they said they own things? And they said, we own this have a spot on the earth that the Creator has given us for free. Pay to drink the water that the Creator has given us all for free. So we have allowed others to take some care of that which belongs to the earth. And it's time to stop. So why this entire money system is collapsing? Because it was wrong from the beginning. You can't earn enough money to pay for something that's already yours, and you didn't have to try because it belongs to all of you. So now, let's create the right, a money system. The only thing we need a government for is to find out how many people live in our area and make sure each person has what they need to live. Enough food each day, water to drink, shelter, a place on the earth where they can live and not panic because they don't have money to pay. And we can stop this violence right now. We've got to change the way we think. Because nothing that the Creator has given us for free should be paid for. Now what we can do is create something called service units, where we serve each other, and that's perhaps what we can exchange, that we want extra things that each of us can provide. Those that have skills, they share those skills. And people can give them service units. And of course, if you did nothing, it still wouldn't cost you to live because the Creator has already given us everything for free. So our government is making sure every man, woman, child has what they need to live. And if you want extra, you can share it. And it would remove all the violence because no one would have to struggle. They wouldn't have to struggle to breathe. They wouldn't have to struggle to have a place to sit down and not have to flee to sit on the earth that's already free. He really can't keep it. And it's time because what we need is people. Now, for those people who think they own things, they do what we should do. Stop buying something. That's what a boycott is. And once you stop buying someone's product, it no longer has value. And so they do what's for and provide it to you. Now, those of you who belong to a faith community, whatever you think about a way you can demonstrate to the Lord's work, because this is God's work. When all of the members of your community have what they need, and they're sharing what they need, and nobody's doing it out, and everybody has a place to live and clothes to live because you're all sharing what you have, then you can provide a model for the rest of the world to follow. And if you're truly following God's way, you'll figure out a way to do that. Once we begin to share, then we end the need for money. Because nobody has to struggle to live. Nobody has to struggle to have their share of what's already been given to them. So let's create a money system. We really can do this. We can. All we need is a change. And then everybody.
So hopefully we were able to hear that message first.
Tell you what I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.
All right. So now that was another video that popped up here, but interesting message. But now, there are no accidents. But now, when we think about the idea of someone saying they own the air and you have to pay, and they could actually have you suffocated if you didn't pay a fee, that's pretty horrifying. But it isn't much less horrifying to have people afraid they're going to get put out of their shelter in the wintertime and evicted, which families have done that, gotten put out of a home because they didn't have money to pay a bank or a lender or whatever, and they got kicked out of the house in the wintertime, all their stuff put out in the street. We've seen that over and over again. And as bad as it is, it didn't occur to us, or we didn't know how to not make that happen. And it certainly didn't occur to us, well, just give, you know, just share space. We have all these, and we have so many empty buildings and so many homeless people. And we keep thinking, well, somebody should do something. We are that somebody. We should not allow a system where people are suffering. We shouldn't allow it as a collective body. We should not allow a few people to take control over the ability to have shelter from the elements, where people can be put out of their shelter and die from cold and excessive heat and wind and rain. We shouldn't allow that. And so this is the way we don't allow it. We create something else that isn't controlled by anybody except the collective body of people, not an institution.
Naima?
So what are your thoughts?
Naima?
Shereen, yes, go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, they... you know, when she mentioned air, air is being sold to us. If you need air to inflate our tires on our car.
That's true. You gotta pay for air.
I don't go to those gas stations that charge for the air. I don't. I'll go to Not giving a plug for them, but I will go to Quick Trip where you can inflate the air in your tires for free. I understand that the air is being compressed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a system, a mechanism for compressing the air, which creates a force that forces the air through that hose and through that nozzle. Okay, let's pay for the compressor. After the compressor is paid for, then that should be it. You know, you are rendering a service utilizing the God-given air. We'll pay you for your system, but after that, you should not continue to charge people for air. But we are paying for, and we are also paying for water.
Mm-hmm.
We are paying for water. I mean, that's a huge industry now.
Yeah.
Every convenience store, every store is selling us water. Now, I understand that water has to be purified. There are some water that is not pure for human consumption. That is the most limited resource is drinkable water. Okay, we'll finance the purifying system. We'll finance that. But after that system is in place, and the water is purified, why not purify the water that exists, and then people can drink purified water? And here in St. Louis, I don't understand it. St. Louis has a top-notch, cutting-edge purifying system. People that travel here from other parts of the country, they taste our water, our tap water, and they expound on how good it tastes, and that is because we have an excellent system. Now, we are paying for that system. and those that maintain that system. If you are a homeowner, you have a water bill. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
They are charging you for water. So, but now let me somewhat bring some balance to this. Almighty God says to us in the Quran, seek by the means, and now this is God addressing the rich man. The rich man. God says to him, seek by the means available to you, the home of the hereafter, but do not neglect your share of the earth. Now, seek by the means available to you the home of the hereafter, utilizing your wealth. Utilizing your wealth, because that is the final home. And then Almighty God says to him, but don't neglect your share. In other words, you have your share, and you have the share of many others.
Mm-hmm.
You have the portion that has been apportioned out to everyone else. Live according to your share, and share that overabundance you have with everyone else, because you would not be rich if it was not for the poor supporting your efforts and your business. There is a partnership. The rich need the poor, and the poor need the rich. He has not blessed all of us equally, not equally. To some, he has given proclivities and strengths in obtaining financial wealth. But that is not withheld from anyone. So we will not be, there will always be those that have more, but their attachment to their creator obligates them. You are obligated to spend what is beyond your means for the betterment of the whole society. They're obligated to do that. If they don't do that, then they are classified as the hoarders, and God hates the hoarders of wealth. So that connection to Almighty God, connected with our resources, is a very, very, very valuable connection, especially for those that are under the test of having great wealth. We say, ooh, I would love to be rich. Are you sure? Along with that, how shall you manage that wealth? How will you utilize it? So it is, we need a correction in our thinking. We don't own anything, nothing. Everything is entrusted to us while we're here in this existence. And there is a responsibility and obligation that we will be questioned on. Even those of us that don't have great wealth, we have something to give.
Absolutely.
We have something to give.
We have something to give.
The prophet has said, even a smile is charity.
Absolutely.
How we treat one another is charity. Be of good spirit and share the best of yourself with each other. We do not want to condemn the rich people among us. I don't agree with that adage that a rich man cannot go to heaven. Oh yes, he can. He can if he utilizes that wealth in good deeds and good works.
So two things that I'd like to look at, and I'm going to bring in our caller, area code 314-833. Two things I like to look at in terms of what we consider as
Viata makes a comment that advertisers and corporations bombard us with messages that we need more stuff instead of sharing the stuff in a packed garage. So we got a bunch of things that we hoard that could be circulated and used for other people if we would just let it go and share what people need. We had to think about why we're doing that. But then also I recall an incident that was described in the Bible when people were complaining to Jesus about, you know, they're charging us too much taxes. The government's not fair. We got to pay all these taxes. And he looked at a coin. He said, whose face is on that coin? And they said, Caesar. And he said, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. So coin that we have allowed to be a symbol of wealth, okay, for those people who want to give that value, then let them have that. But we don't need coins and paper. We need the things that we need from each other. And if we just share that, we can bypass the money because that really is not wealth. It's a symbol that we have given power to. We don't need it when we learn how to share. We don't need money created by someone else. Someone else's face is on it. Their residence, we don't need it. We need the thing that enables us to use to exchange. So,
in relationships, yes. I'll be very brief. In relationship to Scripture, and Jesus, may the peace and blessings of Almighty God be upon him. One of his disciples was Judas. Judas was the person. Mm-hmm. Judas was the one that handled the money,
the
finances. And yes, and he spoke to Jesus, peace and blessings of God be upon him. Oh, good master. Our purse is empty. And according to Scripture, Jesus pointed to an axe, and instructed him, take that axe. See that stand of trees over there? Yes. Go and cut wood and sell the wood to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to go too far with this. Jesus, according to what is written, told Judas, go and cut wood and sell it to the people. That is how they replenished their coffers, you know. So one more thing. We should not let money make us. We should make money. We should make money, but do not let the money make us and change our behavior, our way of thinking, our value system. Money is no more than a medium of exchange for services rendered.
That's the point.
So we have to change our thinking. I agree with you. We have to change our thinking concerning wealth and money.
And before I bring in our next caller, the acronym man, I'm going to give you an acronym for wealth. Withholding everyone's abundance, leaving them hungry.
Say that again. I'm writing that down.
Withholding everyone's abundance, leaving them hungry.
Okay.
So if...
Yep, it is our thinking that we need to change.
It's our thinking
name.
We need to change. Because as long as someone else is without and we have more than we need, why are we withholding it? And why are we valuing people who do that? Creating suffering. Why are we doing that? Let me go to our caller, area code 312-833. I believe we got our brother, Mark Shaheed, who has all the acronyms in the world. Grand writing.
Alaikum as-salam to you and Kareem and to the distinguished audience of the Female Solution and also AM360 Radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, and for those who don't know what that means, that means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost for such a very intriguing but substantive topic that you and Kareem are engaging in. A lot of great information. I agree wholeheartedly with everything that's been said. And I love that acronym, as you know. I love the acronym. So with your permission, I'd like to give permission to use that because it actually conveys an idea for those who may have it. You know, something Kareem said my grandmother taught me when I was very young. She said, she used to tell all of us this. She said, remember, you make money, but don't let money make you. And so there was wisdom that was there. And let me give you an acronym for the word money. Making others' needs, especially yours. And making others' needs, especially yours. When we think about in terms of construction of the family life, the social life, and all of that, when we make others' needs, especially yours, in terms of that, especially for men, it becomes the incentive to actually be able to perform the responsibility that Almighty God has given to men, to be productive, to be able to protect and to maintain the family, which is very, 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 very important. And in that, revelation in the Quran, it is that God is instructing us to strive together. And oftentimes that word together in terms of the insight of the Quran is left out. Strive together as in a race. Why is together very important? Because it means that you are not an adversary of others that are doing good. I mean, you're working together, you understand, toward all that is good. That's good for not only you, your family, but for the community and for the human society at large. You're working together. Now, what has to happen? You talk about transformation, reformation, and all, is that it has, as has been said quite a few times, in terms of the thinking of the people. No, we are not owners. The one that has created all of this is the rightful owner of all of this. But to be able to realize and understand the importance of actually sharing is very, very important. And this is a way, you understand, that we talk about our relationship with God. This is how we actually are in servitude to God. Almighty God, the Creator, needs nothing. So when we serve God, that means that we really will be serving other people. So, you know, this information has to get out to the broader society and this productions like the Female Solution and other productions that that we try to do, you know, on IWDM, AM360, with the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the Learning Lab in terms of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. There's a need for that to get this type of valuable information. It starts with that, you know, and then it spreads abroad, this information and all. So I just wanted to call in just to commend you on an excellent topic in terms of looking at it. But we always need to remember the morality, the integrity, the honesty, the transparency. So to be able to implement something like that, all of these are key ingredients that the human being has to maintain and sustain to even have a community, as I heard L.A. say that, you know, he witnessed. But we know the reality. the reality now is that everybody don't have that. Everybody is not spiritually based. Everybody is not God conscious. You see, so you have to have all of that in place for this to actually work. And I remember years ago, I learned from one of our scholarly imams where he said that money is the byproduct of work, and work is solving problems. Okay, so money is the byproduct of work, and work is solving problems. And so just think about the opportunities, careers, professions that would be alleviated if there were no problems, even with the creation itself. This is a big responsibility for a man, you understand, to do this. What Kareem was saying is he's right on point, because even in the natural elements, they have to be harnessed and all, where it becomes a service to all people. You see, so, yes, we have a share, but we have to remember, you understand, that we have to work, you know, to be able to earn, you know, the money that comes from the work it is that we do. And that's how we should be steering our children. Want to make sure that everybody tune in tonight on the sister station, IWDM Radio, for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then after that, the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as we have Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, who has authored about 9 or 10 publications on the insight and wisdom of Imam W.D. Muhammad, will be my special guest. And the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab Thursday, which will be tomorrow, with Quran Shakir. And we have a special guest, Imam Fahim Shuaib, as we'll be talking about intimacy, but from an Islamic perspective, not from Western society. So we ask that you do tune in. You can dial 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. Thank you so much. I appreciate the female solution and the thought-provoking topics that you have and that AM360 have. And
absolutely. We appreciate your input. Look forward to hearing you tonight and tomorrow.
Now, get an acronym one more time for WEALTH before I go, so I can have it firmly affixed in my mind.
Feel free to add it to your repertoire. Yes, withholding everyone's abundance, leaving them hungry.
Yes. Yeah, that means that they really don't have wealth. If they got that mentality, it has them. So yeah, we can't hoard that. You have to give it up and turn it loose like Mother Goose. Okay, so thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
I appreciate Brother Mark. We're about winding down now, and we are certainly encouraging you to look out for the website.
Unmuted.
Sharing Earth's resources, voluntarily implementing creative exchange. One of the things that Mark mentioned was the reality is that everybody is not at that spiritual level where they care about their fellow beings. So this is why one of the steps is after you create your service page, then you create your service group, those people who are where you are, those people who you do know, like, and trust, because they have to understand the principles behind the system. The system only works if you first understand the principle that all people are of equal value. And all of this, to all of us, and was given to us by our Creator to share. When we understand that, then we can make the system work. So, Brother Kareem, as we go, last thought,
we've
come to the end of
the
our
opposite
today,
word,
but you can hear every
show is share. We have to be willing to share with each other. And none of this belongs to us.
We are only entrusted with this earth, and we have to be willing to share. Thank you, Naima. Excellent broadcast, my beloved sister. Alhamdulillah.
We thank you for your wisdom. As-salamu alaykum. And we thank all of you for listening in, calling in, and commenting on Facebook and adding to this discussion. Remember, we're all here to share
your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. It's a show you don't want to miss on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. We're joining Dr. Debbie Green on Facebook on Soulful Solutions. We'll see you tomorrow. Until that time, continue.